welcome to Comic Talk Today for Tuesday, August 7th, 2018, and this is the news.
This is CNN Breaking News.
I want to kick things off talking about the 100-page giants over at Walmart, and you're thinking to yourself, I'm sick and tired of hearing about these. Listen, this is not something new. Well, it is. You should be happy about this. The second issue of all the books should be out this week. Now, I was at my Walmart yesterday because a friend of the show, Rob Krieger, was talking about this on Twitter and asked a question about it. I didn't see them there yet, but I do know that generally the books are being restocked on Wednesdays or Thursdays at most of the Walmarts. So my assumption is that between the time this podcast comes out and the end of the week, the number two issues will be out. I know that I've heard some rumors that up on the East Coast, they're already seeing some of these number two issues. So they may be at your local Walmart. If they are, and you enjoy the first ones, then check them out. And if you want to know what you'll be getting this month, on the Batman number 200-page giant, we have part 2 of Batman Hush, Harley Quinn Rebirth number 2, Nightwing Rebirth number 2. In Superman Giant number 2, we have, of course, the original story, The Terrifics number 2, Superman Batman number 2, and Green Lantern number 2. That's kind of an interesting choice. In the Justice League number 2 giant, we have the original Wonder Woman story as well as Flash number 2 from the New 52 and Aquaman number 2 from the New 52 and Teen Titans number 2. This will have, of course, the original story as well as Superman Rebirth number 2 or Super Sons Rebirth number 2, excuse me. Ah, that's such a good book. I was just talking about that yesterday. Sideways number 2. By the way, really interesting that that's on here because they're doing a real push on this book because Dan DiDio is now writing it. And I haven't talked about this really, but I find it an interesting choice because I definitely felt the change in writing. Justin Jordan was the one that started the book, and now Dan's doing it. And I could definitely tell when the jump-off was. And I didn't realize it until I went back and looked at it because I don't think it was announced anywhere. But now Dan DiDio's talking about it. I'm very excited for this week's issue. And I'm not going to talk about it now. I'll definitely be talking about it on the Top of the Pile next week. But there's some interesting stuff in the works for Sideways. I'm pretty happy that they're putting this book in here. I know Damage was in one of the books on the first one. This is definitely a book to watch out for. And it's quite good. I'm really enjoying it. There's definitely a change of pace when Didier took over. I think it was an issue 5 or 6 that the change was made. And then there's a reissue of a 2003 Teen Titans issue as well. So look forward to those. Of course, they're $4.99, they're 100 pages, and you get the 12 pages of new original content. Be sure to visit your local Walmart and check those out, I guess, if you have to. I try to avoid Walmart like the plague, but you know what? If these are out, I'm going to have to go back and check so I can grab my copies. Scott Snyder announced on Twitter that he has plans to do at least 50 issues on his new Justice League book, and that's pretty exciting, because regardless of what I think about some of Scott Snyder's work recently over at DC, I think it's really important to have consistency, and I'm actually really enjoying the Justice League run, so maybe I should say that up front, because I think the statement I just made, it made it seem like maybe I didn't enjoy the book. I really do like the book, I think it's fantastic, and you know, it's nice that we're going to have 50 issues of this. You know, some people may not be all up on it, and that's fine. You know, you can't please every single reader. But, you know, the fact that you have a writer in a single book for a long time really means a lot to a lot of people. And I'm one of those people. And I think it's important to have consistency, especially nowadays when you have creative teams changing every arc or every two arc. Very important to have that. So we'll see how the run ends up going. Of course, this whole thing is kind of a build-up until the secret event that's coming out in 2019. I talked about that, I believe, on last week's news episode, so be sure to check that out, and you'll get a little more information on it. There's not much to go on right now, really. We just know that he's working on a new event, and the stuff that he's brewing in the Justice League book will tie into that. There'll be some tie-ins into the metal stuff that happened last year as well. And he did say on here that all his arcs will be self-contained, so there's no need to pick every single issue up if that's not what you want. And that's actually pretty good, because then you can pick these up and trade and make some sense out of the story. And then every fifth or so issue, James Tynion the IV will be stepping in, and he's going to be doing the League of Doom issue every 5 issues or so. So that's kind of interesting. They're going to throw that in there as well. We'll see how this goes. I'm pretty excited for Justice League right now. The new issue 6, comes out, I guess, next week. So it should be pretty interesting to check out. Now, before I go into more DC news, because really, I think the rest of this episode might be DC news. What's up, Marvel? Where's your Marvel news? I mean, the only Marvel news I found was that they're changing the new Gwen Spider book from AKA Ghost Spider to just Ghost Spider. Okay, that's cool. Good news, Marvel. Youngblood number 13 and 14 are canceled for good reason. And you're thinking to yourself, why are we talking about this? Pay attention, because this could be very interesting. Youngblood 13 and 14 are canceled. Now, I have talked about Youngblood before on this podcast. I've actually really enjoyed it. Matter of fact, the aforementioned Rob Krieger is the one that got me back into it, because I checked out the first issue and I thought it was fine, but he was talking about it so much that I went back and reread the stuff that I had missed, and I've continued with the book ever since. I think the current Youngblood book is actually really quite fantastic. It's written by Chad Bowers, who I think has done a fantastic job with the franchise. It's fun, it's fresh, it's refreshing, it's very modern, and I'm really, really digging it. But supposedly, issue 13 and 14 were going to be a new two-part arc called The Blood War, or Blood Wars, and Liefeld was going to be doing the art. And it seems like that has been changed. The book is actually temporarily canceled. At least issues 13 and 14 are canceled. They may be, I guess, resolicited at some point whenever this whole thing is over. But they decided that they're not going to do issue 13 and 14. They're going to do The Blood War as a standalone event series from Image Comics, which means you're going to get more than two issues, right? Which is always nice, especially in an event book like this. You want, I would assume, four or five issues to let the story breathe a little bit, make it make sense. Now you're thinking to yourself, all right, Martin, you told me to wait because this could be interesting. Why is it interesting? And I'm going to tell you why. Because we've got New York Comic Con coming up. Not very long. What, a month and a half, 2 months away? Pretty close. And for those of you that may keep track of all the news, you may remember that Netflix actually purchased the rights to a lot of the Liefeld characters. Now, those rights do not include Youngblood. However, it does include Brigade, it does include Bloodstrike, and a couple of the other properties. And this event book that they're planning on it actually featured Brigade pretty heavily. And so I'm assuming Bloodstrike as well, because there is a Bloodstrike Brigade tie-in. The leaders of both of those teams are brothers. And not too long ago, I remember seeing Liefeld talk about the stuff that they're planning with Netflix. And one of the things that they're going to be launching with is this kind of crossover. I don't remember if it was a movie crossover kind of thing, or if it was going to be like a actual show, but it's very similar to what this Blood Wars thing sounds like. And let me tell you, folks, I can imagine that they're going to be announcing something about this series going forward, and that announcement will be the New York Comic Con. And of course, it would make sense to have this book come out the month of or the month after. This comes out in November, if I'm not mistaken. It's been pushed back to mid-November from an original July release date. It's been pushed back to November 8th, actually. I just found the date. I would not be surprised if they announce that this is going to be, it's being filmed or it's done filming or whatever it is. They're going to start filming it maybe, and they're going to announce this right before this book is set to go out. So when the announcement is made, people are excited. They go pick up this book, and there's a renewed interest in the Youngblood franchise. And, you know, all the other stuff that Liefeld is doing over there with his characters. Really interesting. So I think going forward, it's very important to see whenever we have book announcements like this, we want to see what is coming down the pipeline in other types of media that would make that connection, right? Because right now, the lifeblood of these companies is really in doing movies and TV, right? Comic books don't make comic book companies movies or money. Movies make comic book companies money. And, you know, the comics are just kind of used as a way to bring in stories. So going forward, always be on the lookout for this kind of thing. I think this is the announcement we're going to get at New York Comic Con, and I'm excited to hear about it because I kind of want to see this. Even though, you know, Bloodstrike and Brigade weren't always my favorite back in the day, but I want to see this. You know, the more the merrier for me, even if it's something like Youngblood. So be on the lookout for that. While we're talking about movies, we have a lot of movie news. In fact, Sunday night, the Bloodshot movie began filming. And I know that's been in discussion for years. It's finally a thing. I caught wind of it a couple of days before Vin Diesel announced it on Twitter, and on Instagram, I guess. He posted a video. I don't like to delve in rumors, really, especially not on this podcast. So now that the news is out, I can talk about it. But yes, the movie started filming Sunday night, Monday morning, early-ish, and I'm excited for it because I've been a fan of this character for, I don't know how long now, 25, 26 years since it's been out. Finally, nice to see Valiant. Finally, after all these years of talking about movies coming out, there's a movie finally in production. And sure, it's only a day or two into production. We don't have a release date yet. But you know what? At least it's finally happening. At least it's finally happening. And Sony is really like going right for this. They've pushed back some of their Spider-Man projects that they're working on, like the Silver Sable movie, the Black Cat movie. That has been pushed back in order to fast track this Bloodshot movie, because I guess they feel like this is where things are going to be. I think it's interesting because even though now we have this whole Warner Brothers, the Time Warner, the Fox Disney thing, Spider-Man is still holding off over at DC, that whole side of the universe is, but really they can't just bet all their money on that because, you know, there's been rumors about Sony being sold off. And it's possible that Disney may want to buy at least chunks of that company in order to reacquire the film rights to Spider-Man. So think about those things. Sony needs to diversify, right? Every company needs to diversify in order to succeed. You cannot focus on just one thing. And it makes sense that they would want to do this. So I'm excited to see this. I will be there on opening night when this comes out. I think Vin Diesel is an awesome dude. Okay. He may not be the best actor, but you know what? He makes fun movies that I enjoy watching. So I'll be there opening day. And of course, it's Bloodshot, and I love Bloodshot. However, give me that Exo Manowar movie. That's what I want to see. Going back to DC, it seems like we're casting a villain for the Doom Patrol TV show that's going to be premiering on DC Unlimited. I don't know if there's a release date yet on this. It's still in kind of pre-production, but it looks like the villain for Doom Patrol is going to be Mr. Nobody, and they've already put out a casting call for a 30 to 50-year-old person to play the role of a man who will be seeking vengeance on the person who holds responsible for the failed experiment that caused his condition, which in addition to his sanity, has left him stuck between two dimensions. I haven't read a whole lot of Doom Patrol. What I've read, I really enjoy. I actually really enjoy the current run, even though it's been plagued with scheduling problems. And I'm excited for the show. I want to see how these characters are introduced in the Titans show. I think it was like episode 8 or 9 that Doom Patrol pops in. That's actually the episode title of that particular episode. So we'll see, but I'm excited to see this. I'm glad that the thing is going forward. Same goes for the Birds of Prey movie. And that's kind of a little off into the future in terms of production. We're not going to see production start on that until early next year. But we do know a couple of things. Finally, we do know a couple of things. And these things may change, folks. So, you know, take it with a little grain of salt. But there's a synopsis, an early synopsis for the Birds of Prey movie. And it says, after splitting up with the Joker, Harley Quinn and three other female superheroes, Black Canary, Huntress, and Renee Montoya, come together to save the life of a little girl, Cassandra Cain, from an evil crime lord. And it's also been announced that the evil crime lord is going to be not Penguin, as it was originally mentioned, but instead Black Mask. And I think that's cool, because we've never seen Black Mask in a movie before. Not that I can remember. At least not in live action. If I'm wrong, please correct me. But I was trying to think about this, and I don't think we've seen it. At least not as an important character. He may have had like a cameo appearance in one of the movies. But pretty exciting to see. I'm glad that they're trying new things. This will be an R-rated film, it seems. I don't think the direction of that has changed yet. So it could end up being a really interesting move for Warner Brothers in trying to revitalize the DC Extended Movie Universe franchise. While we're on that, very briefly, it seems like there's also a Supergirl movie in the works. And let me tell you, my wife is super excited because the only superhero movie she enjoys is the 1984 Supergirl. She has watched it a bunch of times. In fact, I had to order her the HD remake of the film that just came out so that she could watch it. She's very excited for that. And you know what? I'm excited for this too. You know, we have the Supergirl show at the CW, which I think is a fine show. It's not my favorite. It's a little teeny for me. But you know what? I enjoy it anyway. Because you know what? The CW shows may not have the best quality, but they're really fun to watch. And they really embrace what comics are about. And they're just kind of like soap operas with superheroes. Matter of fact, every time I watch one of these shows on TV, my wife is always saying, oh, you're watching one of your soap operas. That's cool. And I am. You know what? It doesn't matter. I love the hell out of them. And the more, the merrier. So we'll see how it happens with this new Superwoman movie, or Supergirl movie, excuse me. There's a new head of film over at Warner Brothers. So, you know, there will be some changes being made. And I think they need to try new and different things and see what works. And if they have to kind of Marvelize the whole thing to appeal it to a wider audience, then so be it. So be it. I think that's probably the right choice. Back over on the comic side, I thought this was really interesting. There's an article in Newsarama in which they asked Dan Didio about why sales are down over at DC. And pretty much what Didio said is that there's an oversaturation of the direct market, and that's kind of what's causing the drop in sales. And I thought that was really interesting. And I'm not going to talk about this in depth right now. I want to gather some thoughts together and maybe do a solo episode on just that. But I thought that was a really interesting comment to make, partially because I think DC is putting out more books now than they have in quite a while. You know, Marvel's always been more about quantity, right? I mean, at one point they were doing, 105 books, 110 books a month. Now they're doing 83. DC is up to 73. You know, I kind of like it hovering somewhere around 40, maybe. So half of whatever they're putting out is what I would really like to see, because I think that would really focus their attention on the books that really matter. But, you know, the other thing is they're doing all these imprints. And I find it interesting that he would talk about oversaturation, but continue to create new imprints, right? We have Zoom, we have Ink, we have, what else? The Black Label stuff. I guess the Sandman universe is kind of its own imprint, even though it's part of Vertigo, even though they're not saying it's part of Vertigo. There's just so much stuff. The Geoff Johns books, those are their own imprint. I mean, who else? Bendis? Bendis is bringing back the Jinx stuff. I mean, Jinx World, that's its own imprint. I mean, I understand what you're saying about oversaturation, dude, but, you know, when you make that kind of comment, you got to think about what you're doing within your own company. And I think if you're putting out all these imprints, you're oversaturating yourself, and you probably need to take a step back and figure out what the best way to move forward is. And, you know, he made an interesting comment about that's part of the reason why they want to do the imprints, but that seems to be a little counterintuitive to me. Why do the imprints to bring more books in when you probably should focus and maybe bring some of the lines down? Something that's a little more achievable. I don't know. I'm going to gather my thoughts on this a little bit. I'll probably put out an episode in a couple of days just talking about this particular issue, because I think it's really interesting and really important to the health of comics right now that we figure out what exactly is going on. You know, and I think he makes some interesting points. I don't know if I agree with all of them entirely, but if you do, if you've read this article, I'll put a link in the show notes so you can read it if you hadn't had a chance. But let me know on Twitter at Geekvine, or you can email nerdylegion@gmail.com. Last bit of bits I want to talk about is the Comixology sales for the week of August 1st, 2018. That was last week. And I like the fact that Comixology, even though we don't have numbers on what they're selling, I like that they're doing a top 20 books of, you know, kind of so we know where these books are trending. And, you know, if you want to get really nerdy about it, you can go ahead and figure out how those sale charts kind of relate to the actual diamond sales in print comics. Because, you know, really what publishers are still looking at, what comic shops are still looking at, are the diamond sales and not necessarily anything else. And that's why there's not so much a focus on digital, because they're not really tracking digital. And from my understanding, for the majority of companies, digital is still kind of a minor thing. Although I have seen a couple of companies, obviously small indie publishers, decide to drop their physical comics altogether and move over to digital. And I think eventually we'll see a little bit more of that. And we're seeing some move to that respect in a way, right? We have the Comixology originals that a lot of companies are doing. And I think those work out pretty well, because they give, let me tell you, as much as I love print comics, I love the smell of comics, I love holding a comic, I love seeing how the art looks on a printed page, the convenience of digital is bar none, regardless, right? So even doing DCBS, or I know some folks are doing the Kawabunga mail order system now as well, even doing that kind of thing, it's still so much more convenient to just go to your computer or your iPad or your tablet or your phone, whatever, and just instantly click and you have it there on the spot. So I don't know. We'll see. I don't want to talk about that right now, but I will give you a list of the top books, and I'll give you a comparison on how these compared. I'm not going to do an actual sales number, but I'll do a ranking on the diamond charts. Of course, the only one that really won't work here is Injustice, because Injustice is a digital first. It's only available digitally unless you purchase a trade. But this is what the list looks like. At number one, The Walking Dead 182. This was ranked number 13 for the previous issue. So 181 was ranked number 13 on the diamond charts. Batman number 52 was ranked number 5 for issue 51. Justice League number 5 was number 3 book, and on the diamond charts that would be number 10 for issue 4. Mr. Miracle number 10 was ranked number 34 on the diamond charts for issue 9. Infinity Wars number 1, this was ranked number 27 on the diamond chart. Captain America number 2 ranked at 43. Injustice again, number 7, that's not going to have a print equivalent. Star Wars issue 52 at number 31 on the diamond charts. Immortal Hulk number 4 at number 11. Man, that book is solid for Marvel. That's great. And then number 10, Paper Girls, number 23. And this was ranked number 99 on the diamond charts. So really interesting to see kind of what the division is. And, I mean, if you want to take a look at this list, I'll post a link to that as well. But really interesting how the digital sales don't always equate to what's popular in print. And I wonder what the deal is with that, right? I mean, there's many different reasons why a book charts, right? And I think obviously the number one thing for a lot of comic shops is going to be variant covers. And, you know, you can't say that variant covers don't help, because when you have a book with a lot of variants, that book will of course sell a lot more quantity. Right. There's publishers that have made a living on this, like Valiant, for example. As much as I love Valiant, Valiant has always been this way. They almost, you could probably say Valiant created a lot of these crazy marketing techniques with covers and ordering ratios and things like that way back in the 90s. Right. Like they started the whole thing. They were the first to do a zero issue. They might have been the first to do a half issue. You know, for those of you that remember back in the day when Wizard had the half issues, I think the first one might have been a Valiant book as well. A lot of interesting stuff on here. And it's worth taking a look. I think for me, it seems to me that the digital sales, I feel, would more accurately reflect what people are reading. And I'll have to really think about this list a little bit more, but it seems to be a little more accurate, because you don't have to deal with a lot of the ordering shenanigans. You know, like Marvel, for example, doesn't really have open orders on variants. And I'm not going to talk about open orders now, but, you know, some publishers will let you order a variant cover directly. Some publishers, you'll get a ratioed variant, and Marvel does the ratioed stuff, right? So you need to order 200 copies of Daredevil number 600, and you get two copies of Spider-Man number one. Okay. The variant cover. Things like that, right? Weird stuff. Marvel generally doesn't do open orders, although I know they've laxed up a little bit on that. But once you take all that stuff away and you look at just what books are selling, I find it very interesting that Walking Dead is at the top of the list, because while it does rank very highly up on the print books, it seems like this has a very strong following in the digital market. And I think that's really where we see what actual people are buying, right? Because the numbers that we get from Diamond aren't actual sales numbers. It's what they're selling to comic shops. But what are comic shops selling to fans? We don't have that. And I'm sure that comic shops don't have a way to track that, right? I mean, maybe a big shop like, I don't know, Midtown. Maybe Midtown has some kind of numbers so that they know what their sell-through is. But think about like smaller comic shops. They don't have a way to track that. And I think that would be the most interesting number, right? Because then you know what ends up just going into a long box and being sold at a convention for 50 cents, as opposed to actually going to a customer. So really interesting stuff. I love looking at these digital sales, because I think they do say quite a bit about the way that comics are sold and marketed. And that's maybe something that we also need to be looking at. That is going to wrap this episode up of Comic Talk Today. Thank you all again for listening. I love the feedback, so please sure you send me some at GeekBind on Twitter. NerdyLegion@gmail.com is the email address. I'll be back maybe tomorrow with an episode of The Rant. I'll catch you then.